What's up, everybody? This is Culture Court.
What's up, everybody? This is Culture Chords, and I'm Merlin. On today's episode, we have a upcoming singer-songwriter all the way from Dubai. So why don't you tell us, who is Vish?
Hello, Merlin. Well, Vish is a multilingual singer-songwriter who is currently based in Dubai and has been doing music for the past 15 years in different countries. So I was born and raised in India. Then I went to UK for my education, so I was doing music there too. Then I moved to Dubai about 8 years ago, and I've been doing music here as well. So it's been a pretty intense ride for me. So Vish is basically a guy who's been just running all over the world, writing songs, composing songs, doing gigs in as many places as he can, trying to kind of put his music into all the ears that he could find.
Oh, that's so cool, though. We got a Mr. International, Mr. Universe over here.
Oh, my God. That's too much. But if you call us, someday we'll get there for sure.
Well, I mean, tell me more about that. Like you said, you're from India. Okay, now you're in. And then you went to the UK and then you went to Dubai. Like, what was it like, first off, growing up in India? Like, how did you really... Was it there where you discovered, like, your love for music?
I think so, to be honest. Like, so I used to sing even as a kid. My mom and dad, they used to kind of push me through it. Mm-hmm. It was more like a, like, just like a entertainment kind of a thing, to be honest. It was nothing serious at that point of time. I was really into sports, and I was, like, a really, really academic kind of a kid as well. So I was studying hard, playing hard, and music was the last thing on my mind. Right. And like as I grew up, I started listening to more songs, listening to more artists, and somehow there's like the small part of my heart where, you know, like music resonates, and then suddenly I felt like okay, this is something that I'm really interested in, and kind of just moves me as well. So I started singing for myself, not for anybody else, but just for me. Right. And in my school, we used to have like these cultural meetups and concerts and stuff like that. And I thought, well, why don't I try my hand in that and see if I'm good enough, or what I'm doing is actually practical or not.
Right.
Apparently it was not.
Oh no.
Apparently it was absolutely horrible.
I mean, at least you found out, right?
Yeah, no, I swear to God, I was a 14-year-old kid who didn't know anything about music. I just went on stage and I was singing in a completely wrong key. Things were like out of place. They were out of place. The whole school was laughing. They were having a good time.
Oh no.
Those 3 minutes of hell were horrible experience for someone who was on stage doing this for the very first time.
But I mean, you still continued on, you still pursued it. Like, what
exactly? That's the thing. So with that experience, for a year I gave myself a break. Literally nothing. I did nothing about music, and I was still focusing on my sports and everything and my academics. I was scoring great marks, perfect. Hot parents were happy, I was happy. We didn't think about music at all. Then after my 10th grade, I think after my 10th grade, we moved to another city. And then this was a pretty like modern city compared to the one that I was in before. So we came to schools and everything to me as well. So then I met my new friends and I was hanging out with them. There were some musicians in there as well. So just same way, we started just like hanging out, singing together, jamming together. And a few of my friends, they were like, yeah, why don't you sing with us? Okay, cool. You know, it was nothing serious, like a forming a band or something. Nothing, just chilling as well. And we did that, and we thought we might be able to do something with that, but apparently that went nowhere.
Oh, no.
Because we were still all kids, and we were just like, it was more like a fun thing to just kind of do in our downtime.
Like a little...
India, as you know.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, India is like, with 11th and 12th grade, you are like like completely bogged up with studies. You have so many classes, you have so many tuitions.
Yeah.
It's a hassle. So music was literally the last thing on my mind even then. So mm-hmm. until like I was 15, basically it was not a huge part of me. But then at the same time, I felt like it could be something that I could do out of that. And so I started just like singing for myself again. I started it back when I was 16.
Oh.
And yeah, so I was like, okay, let's start it somewhere. And there were some like, I was listening to bands like Queen, Metallica. I was listening to Linkin Park. I think it was around then when Linkin Park has just came out, like, and they were huge. They were big.
Yeah.
Well, I started listening to them, and Esther was a huge, huge, huge impact on me at that point of time. The guy's vocals were just breathtaking, like goosebumps since day one.
Yeah.
And I even today when you listen to a guy like that, I mean, come on. There's not many people who could do that.
No, I mean, I completely agree with you on that too. Like, he's just someone who kind of just, I don't know, maybe for me, like, kind of turn on the light bulb, you know?
Exactly. He's like on a completely different level. Like, oddly vocalist, to say the least, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So when I listened to Linkin Park, I was like, okay, this literally sparked something inside of me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do something with it. And then I went to my engineering college when I was 17. And in engineering college, we have a lot of festivals, like a lot. And a lot of people were into music and things were happening like almost every 2-3 months. And it was great. So when I went to my engineering college and we had like a small singing competition, and like for just the first year of people, like, so I was in my first year, I was a fresh kid in there. And we did the competition, and suddenly, for some reason, I won that competition. So either a lot of people were really bad, or I was decently better by then.
I mean, that had to feel good, though, right? Like, especially after the last time you were on stage.
Exactly. It was like a complete truth. It was completely 180 for me. I was like, the first time I went on stage, I was out there, and this I'm like walking out with a prize in my hand. I was like, okay.
Like, what just happened? But all right.
I was like, what is happening? This is strange. And after that, a lot of people like from my college, they saw this competition and they approached me. So my seniors, they approached me to form a band with them. And that's how like my actual music journey started in the engineering college. So by second year, we had a proper band. A few of my classmates, a few seniors, and a few juniors of mine. We formed a good band called Awakening Souls, and that was literally the start of my musical journey. Then we started properly performing, writing songs together, performing as much as we could in all the festivals, everywhere, all over the city, all over India, as much as we could. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible for the next 3 years.
That's great.
So that's how it started for me.
I mean,
and once I think, yeah.
Oh, no, so, I was just going to say, like, I think that just shows, like, your consistency with it, or, like, just, you know, like, you were strong with it when you were younger and then it fell off, but then you still got back on, but bettering your skills in a way, you know?
I feel like that would have been it, because I feel like the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's as simple as that,
mm-hmm.
to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like they say, practice makes perfect or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. So we were just digging around as much as we could. We were just like, we at least like 40, 50 gigs in a year. In college, in different colleges, throughout the city, here and there, whatever we could find. And at that point of sentence, you were living with your parents and there was no peer in the world. Even if you get money or not, that was not an issue at that point in time. For us, getting a stage was a huge thing.
Right.
So as soon as we got any gig offers, you were like, okay, we're going, we're filming. And it turned out really well. Like, a lot of people in the city, like from the government officials and stuff, everybody started knowing about us. And it went pretty well for us. Like, this is I'm talking about 2010, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like ages ago.
I mean, not ages.
it's literally like 14 years, like 13 years now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's ages ago for me, I would say.
Well,
for me, at least, maybe not for you.
No, I mean, yeah, 2011 is when I graduated high school, but I don't know. I felt everything kind of feels like yesterday, you know?
And it does, though. It does feel like yesterday. But if you actually see the numbers,
oh,
damn, that was a long time ago.
Pro tip, don't look at the numbers.
Exactly. Now we don't have to. We won't talk about it.
No one needs to know.
Nobody needs to know how old we are. Absolutely not.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But I mean, so
that was pretty much the Indian thing that I did in that end of there. And we wrote a couple of songs together, but then since we were all kids and in college, I don't think we actually thought about releasing them at that point of time. We never did anything about it. And then I moved to UK for my master's.
Okay. So, I mean, like, just going back from India, like, you were trying out, you know, your voice, practicing, like, your sounds and whatnot. But, like, what kind of...
Yep.
And you were listening to, like, all the rock, like Metallica, Linkin Park.
Yeah. For me, I think rock music and Indian music have been biggest, to be honest, like, inspiration and things that I actually just listen to. Like, for instance, if I'm just sitting down and I haven't listened to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do listen to a lot of different genres, but then sometimes if I want to connect with something, it always comes down to rock, hard rock, classic rock, or metal. These are, like, the big ones for me.
Yeah.
So then, up on a time when we were listening to Linkin Park, we were listening to Metallica, we were listening to Alter Bridge, we were listening to 3 Days Grace, the emo rock era of the dad rock scene, I think I would say. that's the music that was like kind of ours being at that point. So we were covering them. We were trying to write something like that as well. So pretty much that covers the whole, like, my, like, the initial stages of writing music.
No, I feel that. I mean, it's funny you say that because I think it's just a similar time for me, at least. Maybe that was maybe trending. I don't even want to say trending, but like the kids who knew rock, new rock. The kids who didn't, they just didn't. Like, I remember coming back to India, showing my cousins, like, the music that I would listen to. And, like, we just all get along off of it.
That's amazing.
But, like, I mean, sorry.
That's the music, like, a lot of people got into at that point of time, too. It was not just famous at the point, but I could, for some reason, I feel like that state of everybody's life, everybody was a little emo inside.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
100%. Like, for no reason, you could be the happiest kid on the planet, but you still want to listen to the song and just be emo for like 5 minutes and then be normal.
Yeah, no, trust me. Like, I still listen to it to this day. I, like, go to the gym, put on, like, a good, like, rock EDM version. I'll be, like, so pumped over there.
That is so true. I feel like nothing pumps us because, I mean, that's also because, like, we were the happiest and the most energetic listening to the songs even back then. So maybe it's just that energy all coming back to us.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But I mean, also, I just feel like, and I'm not trying to be biased or anything, but I just feel like, especially knowing a little bit about India, I just feel like there's so much culture over there, you know, not just with, like, fashion, not with just food, but, like, also the music there, like, you don't really hear that on the Western side as much. So, like, were you ever involved in, like, Carnatic music or fusion, or did you ever just listen to it? Or, like, when it came to music in India, like, was it just mainstream?
Yeah, see, like, never actually gotten into the Carnatic part or the possible part of the music, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
My mom used to kind of push me into it because she was a Bharatanatyam dancer.
Ooh.
So she used to kind of, like, yeah. So she was always trying to get me into these classical things. But for some reason, it didn't feel right to me at that point of time.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, if I would have actually done that, I would say, like, the way I now write my songs, it would have definitely been different, for sure.
Yeah.
That would have been a completely different thing. But then at the same time, so I did not kind of restrict myself to just rock and metal. We used to do a little bit of Bollywood as well. So try to convert, like, all the Bollywood tracks into, like, a rock version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not done at that point of time, like 2009, 2010, nobody was doing this. There were, like, very few rock bands in the scene. Like, even if you go to see, there were, like, bands like Indian Ocean, Parikrama, and all these things.
Yeah.
They were just coming out. They were not that big at that point of time.
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. Like, artists, I feel like the same way, like, when I got older, I just appreciated more and, like, started, like, learning about the different sounds, enjoying that. This is when I was little, and you're like, your parents are forcing it down you. Like, my mom also, like, she was a folk dancer, but she really wanted me to be like a Bharatanatyam dancer. I was just like, no, it's not my thing, blah blah blah. But you can imagine, thank you. But like, yeah, see, so like, when I mean, I guess I heard about like Sid. Oh, I feel like I might say his wrong. His name's like Sid, and he has like this song called Sonia. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, not exactly.
So he actually started like making music in Bollywood, like just collaborating, but he was also learning Carnatic as well. So then he started creating like English music, and you just hear those vocals and that framework in his English in English music, which I just thought it was mind-blowing blending the two together, you know what I mean?
This is what I realize now. When you actually listen to different genres, and you kind of start thinking like, why the hell did I not start listening to more different genres when you were a kid, or did the classical music, like when you actually had the time to train for that? Yeah. Now you don't even have time to do anything. That's the first problem, like a first world problem that people have. Yeah. Time.
No, it's true.
So hard.
Because it's just like, there's so much that you appreciate like now, and you just want to get started on. But again, like what you said right now, if we just started on this like when we were younger, it could have been like more time for us and blah, blah, blah. But I always... Much better. I mean, I didn't mean to guilt trip you into that, but
I feel it. No, because I've already felt what you're just telling me right now. So I've been there.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's still fine. Like, as long as we're still evolving, we still have, like, even if we put like 10% of what we can learn from new things, it's still okay. We still have a lot of time to do that.
No, definitely. I mean, like, going back to like how you kind of like started, you felt good about music, you felt like you were on the right track, especially, you know, booking all these festivals. Like, let's fast forward to where you are now in Dubai. Now, like, transferring from India, I believe you said the UK, and then now in Dubai. Like,
yeah.
What was that transition like for, well, the band that you created, you know, performances, and for yourself personally, like creating all this music?
I think the transition was kind of rough, to be honest, because they were not just my bandmates, they were my best friend as well. So, like, literally all of my time, apart from my family, was literally just going into that. So, moving to UK was one of the toughest decisions that I had to make. Of course, sometimes you have to make these kind of decisions to kind of go into something that you have to do it for the long run. So, I moved to UK for my master's, and I was lucky enough to find more musically acclaimed people in my uni. And I had a German dude called Toby, who was the guitarist in my band there. And I had another girl who was a classically trained opera / classical singer. And her name was Ashwarya. And we formed a small acoustic band called Rock Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to perform in uni, to like how we did in college back in India as well. So we used to do festivals there, do some acoustic gigs here and there. But I would say it was not as huge as I would have wanted it to. And since I was there only for like 2 years, so it was not even like a long span while studying and managing the music there. So there's not much that could have come out of it. At the same time, the people that I did music with in UK, and the amount of time we jammed and did the gigs there, as much as we could, we had the best time for sure, you know. So at least I knew that the continuation was there, so I did not stop or have a break in between.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you didn't have, like, the ideal band, let's just say, you know, like, where you wanted to start.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I wanted, like, the whole band with drummers and bassists and maybe two guitarists and stuff, maybe it was not the ideal scenario, yes, but at the same time, since I could still do music with these amazing musicians and still I could have my time improving myself along with them, because they were absolutely insane. They were beautifully skilled. Toby, the guitarist, he was from Germany, and he has been playing since he was 6 years old, so he was incredible on guitars. And then he could teach me things. So I learned a little bit about guitars from him as well, so I started playing guitar as well. So which was new for me, because I never used to play guitar back in India, because I had the whole band who were doing like the instrument parts for me. And then I was just singing there since I didn't have to worry about it. But since I went there and I was all by myself, Toby was one of the people who actually was a teacher to me as well. So he taught me how to play guitar, and that's how I learned, which has helped me immensely in my Dubai music scene.
Oh, well, shout out to Toby. Still so thankful for him, huh?
No, absolutely. He's still all my best friends still. I still miss him like crazy. And of course, whenever he needs me, I'm always going to be there.
Oh, what a good guy. Let's go, Toby.
Toby. I'm sure he's having a good time in Germany, so I'm sure he's not missing me as much as I do.
Oh, so sad. Damn. It really be like that. It's fine.
No, I'm just kidding. He's a great guy. But you know how Germans are not as emotional as the new people. So.
Yeah. I've heard.
Even though I was his best friend and I was always there for him 2 years now, he's a little too busy to text. So no, Toby.
Damn. Okay. I mean, I'm so rooting for Toby, but very low key. Okay. I just.
we still root for Toby. He's still a great guy.
Well, I just wanted to ask, like, you know, meeting Toby, meeting, like, creating this band, was that, like, frustrating for you, or, like, did it come easily for you?
It was super easy. Like, I think we formed the band in like 4 days, like in the first 4 days of joining the uni, both of us. Mm-hmm. We were in the same class together, and then randomly one of our professors, he also commissioned some guitar instrument or something that was connected to guitar pieces and stuff, and it was completely out of the blue, and we were the only people who were interested in that. So we were like, okay dude, I see you. And then we clicked and we literally started jamming the very next day. So for us, it was like the easiest thing, to be honest.
Well, I mean, when it comes to like, I mean, I only say that just because like when it comes to like forming a band, you know, some people don't really align and some people do. Like, I'm just guessing, like, by what you're saying, like, you guys always kind of like, I don't want to say we're alike, but like you kind of had like the same mindset when it comes to music and whatnot.
Oh no, absolutely, because we used to listen to the same kind of music as well. So he was listening to the same bands that I used to listen to: Led Zeppelin, Off the Bridge, Queen, Beatles, pretty much everything that I listened to. He was into it as well. So for us, it was super easy to connect.
That's so nice.
That was the best.
And I mean, like, what were you going to say?
No, nothing. I mean, you were saying something?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, like, forming that band and then, like, you know, fallouts happen along the way. But then what was it like to be where you're at right now?
Okay, so as soon as we finished uni, so we knew, like, after our master's, we would have to part ways because he was going to go back to Germany anyway. I was planning on staying back in the UK, but then I feel like UK was a little too far from my parents as well. So I'm the only child. And I was thinking it's going to be like a 10-hour flight for them since they wanted to come. So I thought if there was any better place that I could move to, since I didn't want to go back to India. And I felt like, yeah, like I had done 22 years of my life in India. So I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. Thank you so very much. Now let me live my life somewhere else.
I sadly feel that too. I mean, I wasn't raised in India, but I grew up with my parents like majority of my life, and then I was like, all right, well, I need to bounce and live my life.
No, I mean, like, even if you get like all the freedom that you get from your parents and stuff, and sometimes it's always good to be independent, to kind of know what kind of a person you yourself are, what all things you can experience in life. It's not something that you could usually experience with the family kind of being with you all the time. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this move that I made to UK and from UK to Dubai all by myself, I feel like it has kind of opened a wave for me that I wouldn't have been able to do if I was in India or if I was living with my parents, to be honest.
Well, I mean, so you living in UK, I just want to make sure I'm getting the timeline right. But like, was that the time that you created Oceans Apart, or was that in Dubai?
Oh, no. That was way after I came to Dubai.
Okay. Okay. So I'm guessing.
Oceans of Pride, I wrote in 2019.
Oh.
So I was in UK. I was in UK from 2013 to 2016. No, 15. End of 15. Then I moved to Dubai around October 2015.
Oh.
And I started my job here. Yeah.
And so, like, with the new lifestyle in Dubai, you know, like, and with your, like, family and just not really with you, like, did you find time to, like, create, like, these songs? Or, like, what was that like for you?
So, for you, I think writing songs became more easier and convenient since I was all by myself here. I feel like I was not able to write as much when I was with other people. Like, even in India, when I was with a band, like, we were writing songs, like, we were covering more than writing original songs, I feel.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened in UK as well. Since we were doing hits for people most of the time, it was more about covers, and we did write like one or two songs when I was there, but then just like India, we didn't do much about it. We didn't record, we didn't release. Since we were actually focusing on the studies as our first priority. Music was never our first priority, I would say, at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. And so Oh, sorry. You changed when you came to Dubai. And that's actually what I was just going to ask you. Like, what kind of made you have, I mean, to me, the way I see it, it's just like you kind of had like this mind shift, like just a little switch on like, okay, like I actually want to pursue it instead of like doing covers and whatnot. Like, what made you start your journey?
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like actual journey, like my actual music journey as a songwriter, I would say it started in Dubai for sure. So when I came to Dubai and I saw the Dubai scene, there were so many brilliant artists who were doing covers, who were doing originals, a mix of pretty much everything. And the scene is, I wouldn't say it's a big scene. It's a pretty small scene because Dubai is a very small city, even though it's very slashy and there are like a million things going on all over the city. But then again, if you actually go to see, the scene is not as big. You will see the same faces pretty much everywhere.
So it seems like a big city, but it's actually like a place where you all know each other.
So I wouldn't say that everybody knows everyone. But then say, for instance, if you're in a scene like just music scene or art scene or maybe stand up scene or something like that, you will know your communities. In that community, definitely you will see the similar faces every time.
Okay. No, I totally understand that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing like being around these people, like that kind of just encouraged you or kind of like lit the spark?
Exactly. So the creative scene of Dubai is absolutely insane because people are so creative here. And as you see, imagine the music scene, I would say everything about Dubai is to be honest, like it's very creative. It's very new. Every day there is something new coming out. Mm-hmm. So when you see things like that happening all over the place and you're surrounded by these kind of people, you want to create things instead of just doing something that everybody else is doing.
Right. Exactly.
So that's how I started writing everything that I'm just starting to release properly as an artist. So around 2018, I think, I started writing Orphans Apart, which was my first song, which was also my debut release as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean...
I wrote that in 2018 and I started recording it with a few friends of mine who were in the scene at that point of time. And then those friends and I, we had like a small misunderstanding between each other and that thing didn't work out. So almost a year's worth of recording and composition kind of that went into waste. But that's okay. That was still a learning process for me as well.
Right.
And then I was lucky enough to find a producer who is also a great guitarist and one of my best friends now, also my bandmate. His name is Mehdi. And so he was the one that I got in touch with for the production of Orphan Support. And he did a brilliant job with it. He did an incredible, incredible job with it. And we released that as our first song. I came as a producer and that was my song, which did pretty well in the scene, I think, as well. And a lot of people left of the music video that we did because we did the shoot half of it in the US and half of it in Dubai.
I mean,
which was the best part.
That was the best part, shooting it.
Absolutely. So the thing, I feel like, because say for instance, even if it releases a song, which is like beautiful, if you have a music video that kind of relates to that song really well, mm-hmm. and kind of describes the story, I think it just makes it even better.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I wasn't joking about that. It's just, you know, when I think of music videos, like the ones that I truly enjoy are the ones that have like, you listen to the song and then like you watch the video and you didn't even think about like how that could also have the meaning for the song, you know, but it's kind of like the storytelling of the video. And I'm just like so drawn to that. I love that.
Oh, I'm so happy. I was lucky enough because one of my juniors from the college that I was studying in India, mm-hmm. he was in Boston and he's an incredible, incredible photographer. His name is Rohit. And he does all these beautiful landscape photography all over the US. He's like, I don't know, like he's like almost a photographer influencer. He's a big shot there.
Oh, shit.
So I was lucky enough for him to be a part of the music video. So we found a friend of ours, in New York, and he had to fly from Boston to New York to shoot the part. And then he did that shoot in one day over there. And me and my best friend Manem, who's also an amazing photographer here, we kind of did the second part of the video here in Dubai. So that's why it makes it even more special when you actually kind of write a song which kind of describes the exact same meaning.
Yeah.
When you are oceans of cars from somebody else.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So It was the cutest thing ever, and the whole team behind it, they were all the loveliest people.
Oh, I mean, that's just like the beginning of your journey, but like all of the creative process that went into that, like you can tell, like it wasn't like something you thought of overnight and just put it out. Like you really took the time to figure out the.
It took almost a year and a half to kind of just write the whole song, to get it produced, get the music video right, and then release it right. Mm-hmm. And when it came out, I was the happiest man on the planet.
Oh. No, I mean, like, you released a song, you learn, like, the songwriting process, you learn, like, instruments along the way. And, like, here you are with your third single, Caged, that actually just recently came out. So, I mean, before we talk about the song, like, tell me, like, what was... How do you feel like you grew as an artist from Oceans Apart to Caged?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question. Oceans Apart, I definitely feel. Pretty much all the songs that I put out are right.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process of writing the song and composing the song, it's all me. It's completely all me.
Okay.
Everything that goes like from pinning down the lyrics to like the melodies and the chord progressions, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That might be on my little acoustic guitar and me sitting at home just doing my thing. So that's always the first part. And the second thing comes off of this is the production part where Mehdi kind of helps me with everything, just like he did in Oceans Apart. So we released another song called Polars, which was my second single.
Mm-hmm.
And his was supposed to be our third single together. Mm-hmm. Right, which we did the whole production for it, and we were about to release it. We almost saw the music video of it as well, but something came up, and that thing that came up was me getting signed into a recording wave.
Oh, that's exciting.
So this is a very new thing to me as well. So there is an incredible, incredible label called Barco Studios, which is in Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like very happy with the music that I was putting out. So I had met the people from the label in different events and stuff, connected with them. And they liked what I was doing with my thing. And in September last year, they contacted me and asked me to join their label as one of their label artists. And without a second thought, I was like, yes, please take me wherever you want. I'm ready to go.
Just lead the way, please.
Just lead the way. I'm absolutely perfectly okay with whatever you guys want to do with me. And
don't say it like that.
No. I'm just indicating about it. But
yeah,
the owner of the label, his name is Sean, and he's a beautiful gentleman. So me and him, we had a good chat before I signed with him. And I told him like how my creative process is and the songs that I write, they're usually very close to my heart. So if they're produced from the label's point of view, I know like some labels, they have this commercial point as well, where they want to sell more and they kind of are kind of loose towards the creative part of it. So I had like a very clear chat with the owner, and then he was like, the creative part, of course, there would be a tiny bit of compromise here and there, but majority of the things, the way you want things to go, it will go your way, which is what I wanted.
Yeah. I mean, it's just having that guidance with you too, right?
Exactly. So we had that clarity from the beginning itself, and we have recorded this whole EP of 4 songs. Ethan's one of their own few multilingual artists that they have. They're very, very proud. So we are releasing songs in English as well as in Hindi for the EP. So we've got 2 English songs and we've got 2 Hindi songs. And let's see how it's received, and then we'll start working on the next EP possibly this year again.
Wow. So basically, your growth from Oceans Apart to Caged has just been a ride. A beautiful,
yeah, it's been,
like,
literally, best ride ever, to be honest.
And it's like, what, the caterpillar to the butterfly kind of thing, where, like, you know, you're just starting off.
Definitely, like, yeah, I just, like, came out of the cocoon like a beautiful butterfly. The label. I'm like, okay. But, yes, the song was produced beautifully by the label. So they had like the basic structure that me and Mehdi worked on. And on top of that, so they had their own producers, set of producers from US that worked on the song. One of the best producers I think there is in US, his name is Roger Ryan. He's one of the Grammy nominated producers there. And he worked on Caged with us. And we were lucky enough to have him, to be honest. And he's worked on the whole EP with me as well. And Caged was definitely something super, super personal and super special as well. So the way it has come out and the way that the whole song feels, the way the music video is shot, the way it looks, it's very raw, very deep. And I feel like the whole team, from the label, from me to Wanem, who's done the music video, to Mehdi, who's done like half of the production, and Roger and Sean from the label. Every person involved in this project, they have done more than 100% for sure.
Well, I mean, like, this is just talking about, like, you know, your music, how you grew as an artist, like the songs that you've released. But like, when it comes to like your audience, your listeners, you know, like, what do you hope that they gain from listening to you? Or actually, scratch that question. Why should they give you a listen?
I feel like the only reason that I would say that people should listen to what I write is like every other artist. I feel like everybody writes from their heart. When they're trying to create something, it's not something that they're trying to copy or something. That they're trying to create something from within, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you're writing something that you feel deep inside, and if even like one person or maybe like 1,000 people, they have like the similar feeling when they listen to these kind of songs that I write and I compose. If they can resonate it for 1 second, I would say they should definitely listen to it, because it would make them feel things the way that we feel.
Mm-hmm.
But also, once they're done listening to it, they would know like, okay, this is not the end, or this is not like the lowest part of your lives. But from there, everything gets better.
Absolutely.
So I feel like I have a thing that people have been telling me, like, I have this very happy energy and I'm very cheerful most of the time as a happy person. But for some reason, when I write songs, they're very, very, very sad. And they're like, how the hell do you write for a happy person? I'm like, yeah, that's a completely different thing. Don't focus on that. I'm not going to tell you that.
It's just the emo in you.
Yeah, it's literally the emo in me, I swear.
No, I mean, I love how you answered that question. And I think it just shows, like, you know, like, even though you may see someone and they look happy or cheerful, or they might just look angry. Yeah. Like, you really never know what's like really going on with them unless you ask, or if you, you know, or listen, give them a listen, you know, because it's like you being vulnerable with your listeners, sharing your story in ways that you normally don't.
Exactly. That could be like one of the deepest parts of me coming out as a song, but nobody knows about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel that. I mean, talking about like Caged and how that is actually like what your newest song, but it's also like a song that you are like vulnerable in. Like, what's a song for you that kind of gets you where you're just like, oh my gosh, I can connect with this artist, or like he or she helps you be a little bit more vulnerable, like a go-to song?
There are like two bands that I listen to very often, like more than anything in the world. First one is Alter Bridge. That's literally my favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to see them live in the UK twice, which was the happiest day of my life. So so they have two songs that will always be the closest to my heart. One is called Watch Over You.
Ooh.
And the other one is called Blackbird. These two songs are their most emotional songs, and absolutely, like whenever I listen to them, it's just the most beautiful thing ever written, I would say. Like Blackbird is a very long song. It's like almost a 7-minute song, which is very rare for rock bands to put out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you listen to those 7 minutes of that song, you don't feel like you're listening to a song that's 7 minutes. It just goes by in a flash. But every single note, every single thing that they play in that song, sing in that song,
mm-hmm.
is a masterpiece.
That's crazy. I mean, I love that you gave that example right now. Just because, like, I feel like that also shows, like, not your sound, but like who you are, you know, like the music you like to listen to, how you're able to become so vulnerable by your choice of music. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, sir. I feel that. Because when you start listening to music that kind of like makes you feel things, you kind of, even if you don't want to write the exact same thing, but you somehow feel like, okay, you should be able to write something that is as close mm-hmm. as this can be.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, now, if anything, you just gave me an artist that I want to listen to now. And so I'm excited to actually, just because, I mean,
Alter Bridge, I would be their number one fan, even if they don't know who I am. Sunday, inshallah, I'll open for them. Who knows?
I love that. I mean, in exchange, I would say, I would recommend listening to Sleep Tokens.
I do. We have, so with Sleep Token, we literally just covered Chokehold. So we have, so what? I was one of the headlining acts for Comic-Con in Abu Dhabi. We opened with Chokehold by Sleep Token.
Oh my God. So we're friends now.
Sleep Token is like the second band that I was about to come to you and talk to you about was Sleep Token.
Oh my God, I read your mind.
you did. You absolutely did. They're beautiful.
Yeah, no, especially, I mean, my friend, he put me on to Sleep Token, and then he was just like, yeah, you just have to give them a listen. Like, their new album, too, so good. And I was just like, all right, like, let me see this hype. And then I just fell in love with it.
I absolutely love Sleep Token. I feel like even before listening to Sleep Token, because I was also trying to kind of mix my genres, if you listen to Porters that I wrote, it has a little bit of EDM at the beginning, and then you have a little bit of hard rock, and then you have like a little bit of what do you call it, strings and stuff. You have like a whole orchestra vibe in there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I listen to Sleep Token and they're like, okay, these people are also doing the same thing and they're doing it better, I'm like, oh, I love that.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are really good, and I love that you just want to like, you're like showcasing rock still, but you're still kind of blending it in a way where, like, for some listeners, like, rock might not be easy to listen to.
Just go into like the whole rock thing, so you have like something which is blended into like a beautiful mixture of genres, and you're mm-hmm. just listening to like a masterpiece.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's really good. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, and I feel like that's the inspiration I'm looking into for my next EP as well, which could be like a mix of genres from here and there. and maybe in different languages as well. Who knows?
I mean, speaking of this new EP, when can we like expect something new from you? Like, would the EP be next, or are you releasing singles before?
So Caved is the title track for the EP.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's and we have got three. Yeah, so Caved is the part of the EP already. So that's the title track, and the EP is also called Caved. We've got three more songs coming out. The second one is a Hindi track called Januna. And that's coming out April 27th. So it's not a long wait for you. I think it's just about a month.
Yeah, it's just around the corner.
It's very around the corner. So not a long wait for it. But yeah, I feel like this whole EP is very experimental as well. So we apply different things, we apply different genres. We're trying to mix a lot of things that I was not able to do before, but with Roger, because since he's an artist who's been working with like artists all over the world. So we're trying to mix a few things here and there and trying to experiment what the sound could be like. Mm-hmm. And I hope this is received well and people would enjoy what we are putting out.
I mean, when besides April 27th, is there any other dates that we should know? Or
For now, we only have April 27th for the second track. And then most probably something in May or June, we're planning for the third track to come out. So we're not doing like a whole EP release at the same time. We're kind of doing like one track at a time EP release.
Mm-hmm.
But then there will still be all part of the one EP itself. So it's like a waterfall release.
Oh, I mean, along with the releases, are you doing any performances along the way, or are you waiting until after?
No. We were supposed to do like a whole release party concert on the 9th of March when we were releasing Caged as well. Mm-hmm. But since there was like a super, super bad weather in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, they had like a big storm and everything was kind of messed up. So mm-hmm. we had to postpone that. And now since Dubai is picking Ramadan, so there is not much of live music happening at the moment.
Right.
We're trying to do all the promotions and everything that's needed online for the time being, but Ramadan ends in the mid of April. After that, we have planned a combined release party gig for Caged as well as Januna. So we're going to do like a whole gig with a lot more dancing town, and we're going to throw like a big event for that. And it's going to be at the Little Barco as well. And I feel like that's going to be something people would talk about for sure.
Oh, that's exciting. That's like a little mini festival.
Yeah, we've got like some really, really good bands joining us for that too. So I'm really excited.
Oh, I mean, so people can stay up to date, you know, like they don't miss out on when your releases are, when your performances are, anything else with going on with the band. Like, where's the best place for listeners to follow you?
So for me, I feel like I use Instagram the most, to be honest, out of all the social platforms, but all of my platforms have the same handle. It is Voices of Wish.
Mm-hmm.
That's really easy to find anywhere, like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. It's literally the same thing. So Voices of Wish, you can find me on all the platforms, and even on Spotify, it's the same thing. And then you can just find me everywhere.
Okay. I mean, sweet. And then I'll also attach links, you know, onto this episode. So people are just a click away from following you, whatever platform they choose. But
thank you so much, Marlon. That means a lot.
no problem. But other than that, that's actually it for the podcast. Thank you, you know, just for being down. I know we had like time differences, rescheduling, but the fact that we made it happen and you were still interested, I really appreciate it, especially for a podcast that's just starting.
No, absolutely. Anything for music and anything for the culture.
If you like this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe for future episodes. And don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube @CultureCords. Thanks for listening. Till next time.